When my life's work has ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I will mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
Thank you. Thank you. You didn't have any trouble hearing that, did you? Whew. Was that loud out there? Huh? Our sound man had his earphones on. He can turn it up and down, so he adjusted so it's comfortable to him, and blowing us out down here. Great Fanny Crosby hymn. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I enjoyed that testimony from Brother Ward, and I'm sure it was a great encouragement to our missionary. I noticed two things. All of those men's names sounds like some dish you'd buy at the state fair. Ice cream or something fried. Or secondly, almost all of them were men. In any Catholic country, the men are usually easier to reach than the women because of their strong emotional attachment to Mary, not to Jesus, or not to truth. Found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've got 15 minutes. All right. That's the most exciting y'all've been all night. Bunch of carnal, backslidden people. The Bible says in verse number 1, and I dedicate this to some of you, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Now, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, to a church full of carnal people. Let me make an observation here, and I don't know how far I'll get into this. Maybe nothing but some observations. But Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. In the first four verses, he lets us know that they're babes in Christ, that they're not spiritual, they're carnal, and there's divisions in the church. Some love this preacher and the other love this preacher, and they forget that it's not the preacher, it's Christ that it's all about. And so these are very immature, carnal, self-centered, baby Christian people. And yet the charismatic movement today uses them as their example of spirituality and tongues. Paul writes an entire chapter rebuking them for their carnality and their misuse, their lack of understanding of the gift of tongues there in those early days of Christianity. And may I suggest, if you're looking for a biblical example and a spiritual example to follow, the Corinthians are not the people to follow. If you're looking for carnality and worldliness and pride and self-centeredness, then go to the Corinthian church, because they are a good example of all that I've just mentioned. Now, he said in verse number 4, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" He said, "I've planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Paul is saying, listen, get this straight. Quit marveling, quit exalting, quit praising, quit worshiping, quit idolizing a man. It's not Paul. It's not Apollos. It's Christ. Without him, we have no message. Without him, we have no future. Without him, we have no life. We have no message. Without him, we have no church. It's about him. The power that with which we must live our life and minister comes from him through the Holy Spirit of God. It's about him, and we must not forget it. Don't get caught up in this preacher or that preacher. Well, and we live in a day, brother, when Christians, and even in fundamental Baptists, we idolize men. We ought to be worshiping Jesus. He ought to be our hero. The truth is, we are nothing except for his grace. God gave us what we deserved. Every one of us would burn in hell. We'd never have anybody saved if it wasn't for him. We're just the voice. He's the Savior. We're just the instrument. He's the power that brings about the new birth. When I work in my garden and I chop out the weeds, I don't set my hoe up and praise the hoe. The hoe's just an instrument. And yet we praise the instrument and not the one using the instrument. The one using the instrument in the Lord's work is the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, we're more like the Corinthians than we'd like to admit. Get our feelings hurt quick and easy. We idolize men and worship men more than God. We have our little cliques here and there, and we have our pity parties and look for our spiritual pacifiers, and on and on and on. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Paul is saying, there's no difference between me and Apollos. We're just servants. We're just voices. We're just instruments in the hand of God. Don't worship the instrument. Worship God. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Look at verse 9. So we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another builded thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. He said, you, me, Apollos, we're laborers together. None of us could do anything apart from the grace of God. Notice this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder. Paul said, I'm the master builder. I laid the foundation. Apollos came and built on that foundation. We're laborers together. But we neither one could do anything apart from God's grace. Then he said, let every one of us take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the one on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer the loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that God the Spirit, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That word destroy doesn't mean to go to hell. You start messing around with a body that's indwelt with the Spirit of God. Start living carnally as Christians. God said he'd judge you in this life. I want to talk to you about God's building plan. Now, I'm not going to get very far into the message, but I want you to know God has a plan. And that plan has to do with building His church and building our life. And every one of us shall give an account of what sort of a building we're building. Every one of us shall give an account. Have you given any thought to what you're building? You're a part of a church. We are laborers together. What are you contributing to the building of this church? One of these days, we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of our building efforts of the Trinity Baptist Church, of which we are members. Are you helping the building process, or are you hindering the building process? We'll have to give an account of what sort of building we're building. What sort of church we're building. I wonder how many of you, if God should promote me to heaven and another preacher came along tomorrow without any standards for the church, you'd accept it lock, stock, and barrel, just thrilled to death. Do you have any convictions? I'm talking about your convictions, Bible convictions. If something should happen and I'm promoted to heaven and a new music director came along and he began to introduce contemporary music, do you have any convictions? I can tell you right now, some of you don't because you listen to it. You like the beat. You like the worldliness. You like the way it makes the flesh feel. Are you not carnal? One of these days, we're going to have to give an account of how we're building this church. And the Bible makes it plain that the preacher is not building it, but we are laborers together. And each of us must give an account of our building efforts toward this church. And I just want to ask you tonight, what are your building efforts like? Has this church grown by even one person because of you and your efforts? I mean, we have some members that's run off more than they've added. They're hinderers, not helpers. How about you? We got to give an account for this, of what sort of building, what sort of church we're building. Someone told me that one of the visitors said she is coming back because this was the friendliest church she had ever been to. I'm glad that she didn't meet some of you. Why, there's some that would have dressed her down because she didn't dress exactly like the rest of us dress. I'm glad she met the one she met, because she said, I want to come back. And if she comes back long enough to get to know our hearts, she'll want to become a part of us. What kind of a building are you building? I mean, is it a bother to shake somebody's hand and smile at them and say, my, what a blessing it is to have you. We're so glad you're here. It doesn't take a lot of effort, does it? Let me give you an exercise. Go home and look in the mirror and practice this. And practice these words. I'm sure glad you came today. Welcome to Trinity. That might make a difference in somebody. Now, God forbid, if they get mad at doctrine we preach, if they get mad at the straightforward manner in the way that we present the Word of God, if they get upset because we're not singing rock music or tweener music, that's the contemporary stuff, so be it. But God forbid, it's our attitude and our spirit, our unfriendliness, that we don't have time to greet them and say hello. I'm simply wanting you to know we've got to give an account to God of what sort of a church we're building, and we're not going to stand up there in a great crowd. We're going to stand up there by ourselves, one person standing before God with the books open. Not only your actions, but your attitudes, your spirit. You mean he's going to judge me about our spirit? He says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. When we come to church, we have the opportunity to worship God and be a blessing to those that need to know him and worship him. We do not have to enter in to their level of living to be a blessing to them. Our job is to encourage them to come over where we are. Okay? And we need to be happy they're here. We need to encourage them. We need to pray for them. And we need to love them for Christ's sake. As God, for Christ's sake, loved us. Because I promise you, when he found me, I didn't meet his standards either. And I suspect when he found you, he didn't get Mr. Goody-Goody or Miss Goody-Two-Shoes either. He had to reach way down into sin to pick us up and love us. And I'm asking you, let's let Christ shine through our life. Let's be a good builder. I hadn't even got to my sermon. And I won't. I'll get it next Wednesday night. But I want you to ask yourself, what kind of a builder? I'm going to get on to the building of the church and the building of a life next Wednesday night. But just by way of introduction and giving you something to think about, if you stood before God tonight and you had to give an account for your church building contribution, what sort of building, what sort of contribution are you making? When you come to church, some of you, I can tell you right now, it's all about you. Not about him. Not about others. I promise you, if we'll learn to come to worship him and to reach others, and we'll put ourselves in the place, we'll get to know what God talks about when he speaks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. We'll get to know the joy of the Lord, and our joy will be full. And it's a wonderful thing when we as Christians, or as Dr. House would say, it's an amazing thing. Father, thank you for the simple scripture that we've read tonight.